Thank you. Okay, well, our final hymn we're doing this morning, before the message, we're going to do How Great Thou Art. What a lovely song. And if you can all stand, and we're going to do all four verses of How Great Thou Art. Thank you. Everyone, you may be seated. Children, you can now be dismissed, and we'll have this morning's message.
All right, Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23. I hope you have been encouraged. Let me ask, are you guys up front hot? Are you guys hot? Mr. Benora, would you get the aircon controller and turn this front aircon on, please? You could probably shoot it from there. One more time. Okay, just come. Almost got it. Yep, thank you. Right? All right, Psalm 23 this morning. Will you read with me? Will you read with me as we look at this psalm together? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's a big amen, isn't it? This morning, I want us to have a look at these verses together. And I hope you've enjoyed the study. And so we're looking at verse number 5 today. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. As I was studying this week, here are some things that I hope that the Lord speaks to our hearts about this morning. Number one, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I hope that this would be the day that you trust Him, that you know that you have a relationship with Him. Most important thing. Secondly, that we would give praise to the Lord for His watchful care and provision. That we would pray when the enemy lurks or lunges at you. That we would practice peace when the enemy surrounds you. That you would put on, like a garment, patience when life annoys you. And then if whatever else the Lord might deal with you about, that you would positively respond in whatever the Lord speaks to you. I know that happens. I know I will preach on this. And maybe the Lord's just been squeezing your heart about something else. And whatever the Lord's squeezing your heart about, I hope you'll obey Him. I hope you'll be sensitive to Him this morning. So, as I think about this verse, for some people, I mean, I'll read lots of commentators and things like that to get different perspectives and opinions on these verses. And maybe even in your Bible reading, you've read through this. And I know I would have been here too. Some of the commentators, they see the picture changing in verse number 5. They go from the Lord being a shepherd, a wonderful shepherd, to the Lord being a marvelous host. And so preparing a table and then anointing our head with oil, my cup runneth over. And I understand that, and I do. And if that's where you're at the end of the sermon today, it's not a problem. The Lord gets the glory. He's great no matter how, whether a host or a shepherd. But I actually think that it sort of keeps going with the shepherd protecting theme. Because in the first phrase there, it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And really, all our writers did a lot of filling in there, because the only words that are thou are there is thou preparest table and presence, or enemies. And so there's a big deal about the enemies. There's a big deal about him being with us. And there's a big deal about the table. And so as we think about these verses, we're seeing a continuation of the theme of the shepherd's protection of us as his sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The enemies are there. They may not be seen, but they're there. And he says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In verse 5, the enemies are looking on. It's like David can feel, though he may not be able to see them. And that's what one writer said. He said that he was an actual shepherd, and he had lots and lots of sheep. And he said of all the years that he was a shepherd, he knew there were cougars who would come and try to take his flock, and sometimes they would, but not one time did he ever see a cougar. They were just that clever. Well, we have lots of enemies, and we'll be talking about that, and I'm not wanting you to think that everyone's after you, okay? We'll be talking about the enemies in a little bit. But he says in these verses that the Lord prepares a table before us. Now, let's look into it. First thing I want us to notice is the places the Lord shepherds us. And this is a little bit of a review. The places the Lord shepherds us. So today, we're looking at the fact that he shepherds us on a tableland. And I'm just going to go there. But I believe, I understand, I think that to be a tableland. You know how we have the Atherton tablelands? And we'll go there. Well, he's our shepherd on the tablelands. When we're up on the mountains, he is our shepherd. But going back to the beginning of the psalm, the Lord is our shepherd, and really we've not left home yet. It's really cool. If you look in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 37, it gives the story of Joseph leaving his brothers and traveling like 100 Ks. Dad says, go check on your brothers. They travel 100 Ks because the brothers are feeding their sheep 100 Ks away. And so shepherds, they didn't just have a house and you know your pastor here, or paddock here. They would actually move them according to season. And here, number one, the Lord is our shepherd at home. He's our shepherd when we're at our house. He knows what's going on in our homes. He cares about what's going on in our homes. And then he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When we leave the house, when we go to work, we go to school, we go do our daily business, the things. Joseph's brothers were 100 Ks away. He's still our shepherd. He's looking after us just as much when we're at work, at school, or the other million places that we might find ourselves. He's watching out, and he's searching for the best place for us to be and at the best time of year. There were, you know, here, it's hot during the summer. And maybe a shepherd would move his sheep away from here during the heat of the summer. And so a shepherd's always looking, and the Lord is looking after us. He knows what we're about. He would have to take them through the valleys to get to the mountains. And he would know about the valleys. He would know the dangers there. He would be on guard. He would have his rod and his staff. And then our verse for today, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The table in verse 5 refers to an elevated and mostly flat area, ideal for sheep to graze in summer. We would describe the area as a tableland, such as Atherton or Melanda. So here the shepherd has taken his sheep. The shepherd has taken his sheep through the valley, and he's gone up to the flatlands in the hills. And may I just make an application here regarding the places the Lord has for us. The Lord is our shepherd wherever we are. And some of us are above 50. And guess what? The Lord knows how to shepherd us. Some of us are above 70. The Lord knows how to shepherd us. Some of us aren't even double digits yet. We're not even 10 yet. The Lord knows how to shepherd us. The Lord knows how to shepherd us as we go through high school, as we get out of school. What am I going to do? Where am I going to? Who am I going to marry? What am I going to do? Lord is my shepherd. He cares. No matter what season of life we're in, He's there. And He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly how to help us. Because why? Because He is our shepherd. So this morning, the second thing I want you to notice, and we're going to get into the verse now. I want us to notice the fact that the preparation by the Lord to protect us. Are you ever unprepared for anything? Please don't hold this against me. I'm not going to say anything terrible, by the way. But there are times that I lose all three of these things. There are times that I lose all. Isn't that shocking? I've got them all three with me now, praise the Lord. I've got two pair of these just in case. But there are times that I lose all three of these. And you'd think, hey man, just put them at the same place every time. And it'll be right, mate. But some people just struggle to learn that. But you know what? The Lord never, ever forgets. Oh, no, Kelly's going through a difficulty right now. Oh, no, let me get over there to help him. The Lord never does that. Isn't that wonderful? But notice the preparation by the Lord, And in the looking at this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. A shepherd, I'm told, would, when he's not in charge of looking at the sheep in his time off, he would go before to the mountains, to those tables. He would go there to the tables. And when he's there, he would look around. And what he would be looking for is a few things. First of all, he would be looking for the best place to feed the sheep. Okay, we can stay here a couple of days. We can stay even longer over here. Lots more grass, lots more suitable things. So he's looking, he's studying the land, he's getting an idea of what he's going to do when he brings the sheep up to the tablelands. He's getting an idea, and one of the things he's doing, he's looking for bad plants. Because the sheep will just eat anything. The sheep will eat anything. And two of the writers, I wrote down some of the things that they said. Some of the things things like camas, acorns, azaleas, milkweed, mountain laurel. These are things that are dangerous for sheep to eat. They can make them sick or even kill them. So the shepherd has to be on guard. He has to think about these things. Needs to do some weeding. He would also want to plant more grass or where there were bare spots. He'd want to fill in holes. Do we have gophers here? We don't have gophers here, do we? Do we have gophers? Growing up, we had gophers. And gophers, you could be walking along. Gopher, they live underground. And they're a pest in your yard. You'd be walking along, and all of a sudden, your foot just goes straight down. This gopher has just buried a hole. He just got him a little cave under there. And you go through it. Well, a sheep. The shepherd's wanting to be sensitive to that. He knows that he wants his sheep to be safe. So he fills in holes that animals make that live underground. He also watches out in preparing. He also watches out for predators. He watches out for predators. Some of the predators that sheep have are wolves and coyotes and cougars and bears. And I mentioned to you earlier that, you know, the one, I think both writers that I was really studied this time, they both talked about how dangerous cougars were. And you don't hear them coming. But they're all dangerous, all the predators, and they would go before and they'd be looking for signs. They'd either trap or kill any animals that they could. And then there's the other problems. There's the other problems regarding, like, you got to make sure the sheep have water. Are the water holes clean? Are they blocked? And then another problem is that when you actually get your sheep there, you've got to keep constant watch because a sheep, when it's being attacked, they don't do anything. They don't make a lot of noise. They just are attacked. You know, sometimes I wonder about us, going back just a little bit, I wonder if sometimes we're too willing to eat whatever is put before us. And I'm not talking food now. I'm more talking beliefs. If someone at work says, oh, you ought to do this, and they say it's so much fun, and you know it's the wrong thing, do we just say, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that? If someone's being mean or talking about people, do we just join in? Yeah, okay, that's all right. Sheep are not very discerning. And then, too, the sheep, if we're under attack, you know, sometimes I think, what do we do? When we're under attack, we do what? We just close in. We don't tell anyone. We don't tell anyone we're hurting. We don't tell anyone that we're upset. And we just, instead of saying, help! Someone help! Shepherd! We grow bitter. We grow bitter. We grow weak. We grow apart. We grow apart. The shepherd, he was always pretty time he was watching, but he was always on guard. Let me ask you something. If you're having a struggle with something, will you work it out? Will you talk to the Lord about it? Will you talk to others about it? Because, why? Because of the enemies. It's important. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Here these sheep are. They're seeing all this green grass, and they're saying hot dog. They're not saying hot dog. That's my word of excitement. They're saying hot dog. And they're all this joy. Yay, yay, woo! But there's the enemies. There's the enemies there. Now, do you have any enemies? Do you have any enemies? Well, we all do. There's three enemies that I believe we have. Number one, the enemies that may attack because of what we are. Now, we are, for example, what I mean by that is by, we may have someone who eventually will attack Australia because of our location, because of the things we have here. We may, as a country, we may have people that'll attack us or our beliefs. They may attack us. The enemy may attack because of what we are or who we are. This one more has to do with our personality, our lives every day. Sometimes we rub people wrong. Some people may not like the fact that you got the job and they did not. Some people may not just like your looks. Some people may not like the fact that I wear glasses. Some people may not like the fact that you have a beard or that you don't wear the right kind of shoes. Now, sometimes there's points. I remember David. The reason I'm going into all these, and we'll look at it in a minute, but there's like three different words that talk about enemies in the Old Testament. One of them has to do with cramping us up. You know, you just feel like you're all bundled up, you can't move. One has to do with the hostility that they show, the anger, the bitterness. And the other one combines the two and basically just makes you the emotional aspect of it. Well, the Lord wants us to follow Him. And there are times that in our following Him, we actually may give people a reason not to like us. In fact, have you ever pulled out in front of someone? You didn't mean to. But you ever pulled out in front of someone? Sorry! And they're sharing all kind of nice words with you. Well, you've given them a reason. And sometimes, David says, you know what? And he talked about how his enemies were trying to get him. And then he said, I've tried to make some things right. I was part of the problem. And then, the third enemy, or whose we are. Now, if you're a person here, whether you know Christ as Savior or not, you're made in His image. I know that was in some ways scarred by the fall, but you're still made in God's image. But if you're a child of God this morning, if you are a believer, guess who really, really hates you? And I'm not, this is, you know enough. I don't go over fanatic. I don't go over fanatic about the devil stuff. But we have an adversary who is a roaring lion who seeketh to devour whom he may. And you know, this is a spiritual battle. The devil is not your friend. The devil hates each one. And so we really do have enemies. But thankfully, the Lord is prepared for them. The effects of the enemy's attack, I've got to move on. The effects of the enemy's attack, well, number one, they make you feel trapped. That was the meaning of the one word. They speak abusively to you, make you feel like you're about this big. Others speak evil of you. They collude together, make you feel tired just from the battle, can result in someone losing hope. So these are what enemies do, and sometimes you just don't see an end to it. So what do we do? Well, we just know the Lord has said we have enemies. He knows about them. He is present too. Yeah, our enemies are present, but so is the Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage for us, we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what? We're not ignorant of his devices, giving us the idea that, you know what? If you're ever, like for example, you know, and we were talking about this in Sunday school, you know that when you're having a conversation with someone, you're upset with one another, and you just we know that's not right. We know that. By the way, that's not right. We know that if you're asleep right now, here I'm coming. We know it's not all right to, why did you do that? We know that. So in other words, the Lord, he lets us know the way we need to be talking. We're not ignorant of his devices. You know what? That is just amazing. If the devil can use, he knows where we're. And if you're saying, preacher, were you at my house this week? I'm going to say, no, I was not. But I know how our hearts are. I know the way. It's just, you know, you get in a tiff with someone, you're tempted to either shut up or blow up. And you know what? We know that's what Satan said. Yeah, don't say another word. Don't show them. You show them. Or they're saying, yeah, you show them how hard you can slam that door. Or how you think you can yell loud? Listen to this. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And that's just the communication one. What about the doing the right thing sexually and doing in our relationship with money and or the way we act at work and the way we act at home and at school and our clubs? You know, we're not ignorant of his devices. But notice, no matter what temptation we have, is common to man. You're not the only one. You're the only one. Becca's the only one that has me as her husband. And she says, thank you, Lord, that there's not two of them. Do you know what? We may be different, But the same God is faithful no matter what. He will not suffer us, allow us to be tempted above what we were able, but will make a way of escape. Can I ask you this? If you have a problem with yelling or being quiet, will you pray for 10 seconds before you talk? And then after you get through with that prayer, Lord, I'd like to say this. What do you think? That'll help a little bit. Then notice, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The provision of the Lord as he protects us, let's move along. Notice the provision of the Lord as he protects us, thou anointest my head with oil. Two things. Sheep in the summertime. Summertime is great for what? For us. Flies. Well, and for sheep, there is a such thing. There's lots of different flies that annoy them. But there is a nasal fly. I'm not trying to gross you out. But the fly will lay its eggs in the sheep's nose. And if it's successful in doing that, the larvae will become a worm and grow and go up in the sheep and bury itself in its nose deeper. And it'll just absolutely drive the sheep crazy. It'll absolutely drive the sheep crazy. The sheep scab is the same, I call it the mange, but the sheep mange is the same thing. It's different. It's spread from one sheep to another. It's oftentimes related to close to the head, and sheep will get close to one another, and they spread. And you know, you're talking about aggravating and troubling. Man, it just causes so much trouble. The sheep, if they get these things, they'll run. They'll hit their head against things. They'll run off. They'll act just weird. And so when it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil," a shepherd takes this ointment, different ointment for the two different things I mentioned. He'll take that ointment and he'll rub it on the sheep's nose, and that will help in the healing process. And so he anoints our head with oil. There's things that aggravate, there's things that irritate, and really there's either people or circumstances that irritate. And really, folks, do we have any circumstances or people in our lives that annoy us or aggravate us? Now, before you say, "Yes, I do," just know probably you're one of those people that annoys and aggravates somebody else too sometimes. But what do we do? What do we do? Oftentimes the word oil is connected with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 4:18, Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:38, it talks about being anointed with the Spirit. And you know why? How we overcome those things that annoy us, and how we can be kind to those people that annoy us. How? But let the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, the Comforter comes in our hearts. He lives. The Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, is what? Love, joy, peace, long suffering. The word long suffering there is patience. It's the idea of having a long temper instead of a short one. Gentleness, goodness, and faith. So how is it that we can respond right when things or people are annoying us? Lord, just like this is a prayer, Psalm 23 it started being a prayer about verse number 4 or verse number 3. We said, Lord, will you please help me? Will you please help me? When we were back at Psalm 23:3, He restoreth my soul. There was a solid month I was saying, Lord, will you refresh my spirit? Father, will you renew my spirit? Because I needed refreshed. I needed renewed. So talking to the Lord, asking Him to help us to be patient. And then something that goes along with that, if you're impatient with people, what will help possibly with that is if you would go back to them, that person that you were impatient with, and you would say, I am sorry. I said what I did. Will you forgive me? You know what? That will go a long ways with them. But that'll also partly teach your flesh that it's going to have to do that every time it raises its ugly head. So being willing to apologize. And then notice patient in tribulation, just trusting Him. And then the last thing this morning, the provision of the Lord as He protects us. Part 2, my cup runneth over. John chapter 10, what does that mean? Well, John chapter 10, the Lord is comparing Himself to a shepherd. And He says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. You know what? Whatever it is the Lord is giving to you right now, He means for you to have it. And so if that is difficulty and you don't know why, just trust Him. Oftentimes we find out more about ourselves and about the Lord in the hard times than we do the easier times. And so the Lord gives us the good times and He gives us the hard times, but one way or another, He's shepherding us, and He cares. Jim Berg says this, if God is the biggest thing in your life, you don't need anything more, nor do you want it. He is more than enough. Conversely, if God is not enough to satisfy you, then nothing will be enough for you. So at work, at home, when you are tempted to lose the plot, just say, you know what, Lord, you know, I'm going to trust you with this. So this morning, we started the day. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Praise the Lord for His watchful care and provision. May I ask you, moms, how many of you moms, actually, Katie, are you keeping up with how many diapers you've changed for your kids? You're not putting a tick. How about any of you other moms? Did you do a tick for every nappy you changed when the kids were growing up? You don't do that, do you? You know what? The Lord does, a mom does so much for her kids that they don't even, they may never say, Mom, I just want to say thank you for changing me 400,000 times. Or they may not never say, thank you for your care, your love growing up. But they do that behind the scenes. To say thank you is good, but you know what? When I think of the shepherd, His watchful care, He's doing so much that we have no clue about. The sheep didn't ask Him, pretend the sheep can talk, where you been? Where you been? What'd you do with your spare time? And if the shepherd could say, well, I went ahead and I checked to make sure where I'm taking you next is going to be safe. And I know the Lord doesn't forget his glasses. The Lord doesn't forget his phone. The Lord doesn't forget his keys. But he has constant care for us. Constant care. So we're going to finish this morning with this song. Fill my cup, Lord. Jared, if you will come with that. If I can be of help to you after the service, has the Lord spoken to you about anything in the message today? All right. Thank you.
Four things that could not satisfy.